Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
This is episode 17 of the Autopilot Your Business podcast. My name is Andrew McCauley, and from the other side of the world, bringing awesome stuff to awesome people, Heather Porter. Hey, Heather.
Wow. Awesome introduction there, Andrew. Hey, guys, welcome back. We have an exciting podcast for you today. This one, we're going to share with you all of what we're doing inside of our business right now to create content. Actually, Andrew, do you know that right now, one of our most popular podcast episodes ever is our content creation episode, which
really?
Is back on number 14, our episode number 14. And we talked about, like, you know, how to create content, what types of content you can create, and also what topics you can talk about. But we didn't really go deeper into the tools that you can use.
So, yeah, no. Yeah, after last week's episode, we had a lot of people asking us about the tools. We spoke about tools and some apps last week. And this one we thought, well, what are some of the tools that we're using in our everyday business and, you know, creating content? We're always creating content, whether it's podcasts, blog posts, articles, you know, just things like that. What can we use? What sort of tips can we give people? And what sort of tools? You know, even just only a few minutes ago, I was telling somebody about a tool that I use, which I use it all the time. So I think everybody should know about it. But this is a person who's pretty savvy on the internet. And he said, oh, I never heard of that tool. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So I thought, hey, what a good idea to go and share some of the knowledge that we've gotten, some of the tools that we use. And get people to start using them if it fits for their business.
Yeah, and we'll even share a couple of tips about how we get our team involved with each of them so you can visualize, you know, if you're going to bring this on board, maybe the types of team members you can actually delegate this stuff to as well. So, yeah, so shall we get started? Let's talk about our podcast.
Podcast, yeah. So, podcast, we are recording our podcast on something pretty basic. We're not using high tech software or anything like that. We're using something that you can download for free, whether you've got a Mac or a PC. And that software is called
Audacity.
Audacity, yeah. Audacity is a free software you can use. It's very, very simple to use. It may look a little complex when you open it up, but at the end of the day, I think we use maybe three or four different buttons on the entire program.
Yeah.
And that's all we need.
Yeah, you literally open it up, you decide what your input, your audio input's going to be, if it's your microphone from your computer or an external mic, and there's a big red round record button that you just click, literally easy as that, and there's a yellow stop button, and then you hit save, and then you hit export into MP3, and you've got yourself an MP3 file.
Now it's good when you're recording if you're both sitting there and you're recording into a microphone. That's pretty cool. We do it a little bit differently because we are on the other sides of the world. And even if we were around the corner, if we weren't in the same room, the way we're doing it is that we're actually using Skype to talk to each other so we can hear each other talking. And I'm recording my voice on Audacity for me.
Yep.
And Heather's recording her voice on Audacity. And what we do is we merge the two together. Now, Audacity lets you merge two sorts of MP3s together. And what we do is we put it together so that one plays off the other. And we can add intros or bumpers. You hear our bumper at the start of our podcast. And at the end, we can sort of insert those. You see a timeline on Audacity that you can sort of know exactly where you are in the program. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple to do. It's just a matter of assigning it together. It probably takes me, a couple of minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes after I just go through and edit and check everything and make sure it's all good. We've got this down pat. You know, the system we've got is pretty good now so that we don't have to spend too long editing this sort of podcast. And we sort of do it in one take, which is sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Sometimes not. And so, and what's cool about it too is just to give you some insight to our team and how, you know, we're doing this on our within our business. I mean, as we're growing right now, we were literally just talking to one of our team members this morning and delegating some additional roles to her. And what happens is that once you have your MP3, which is the file you export out of Audacity, once you've finished, you know, the mishing and the maxing of the mishing and mashing of the two files together, then you take that MP3 file and you basically upload it into your Amazon S3 account, which is just a storage server where you can stick files. Well, then from there, we're just having her literally go in, get that file, and put it into our website, our blog, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. We have a plugin in there that is called Blurberry. That
before you get too technical,
I'm getting a little crazy, aren't I?
Before we bring out the whacking stick, Audacity. We're using Audacity for our podcast, but you can use Audacity. We didn't want to turn into a how to do a podcast episode.
That's true.
But you can use it for a whole number of things. You can use it just to record your own voice, your own thoughts, and get them transcribed by somebody who wants to transcribe it. You can do all sorts of stuff. So sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I didn't want to scare people about, oh my God, what are we using this for?
I guess all I'm saying is that basically when I want you guys to think big with what you can do. And how you can use your team around your audio files. So, you know, when you export an MP3 file, you can really just give that to anybody on your team to distribute for you. So the hard part is really just the sitting down and creating the content, and then you can delegate and get that MP3 pushed out in a lot of different areas, if it is your podcast that you want to do.
And if you're like us, you'll take weeks and weeks and weeks to prepare your content.
Yes. And not so much anymore, because as I did a public promise in the last episode, every week we're going to be doing one of these now. So this is actually, we're doing it. This is our second one.
Yeah, I'm only joking. We don't take weeks. We sort of do it pretty quickly. We know what we're going to talk about, so it's pretty easy to jump on and do a podcast. It's just a matter of finding the time, which there is no excuses. So there is now time we've made for ourselves.
Absolutely. So Audacity is a great, easy, free tool that you guys can use in your business to create audio content. It's fantastic.
Love it. Love Audacity.
Love it. Okay, so what else are we doing right now? We're doing a huge amount of video content. So there's a few really great tools that we absolutely love to use. One, actually, Andrew, I want to hear you talk about what this MySpeed thing is all about, because it makes me laugh every time you use it.
Oh, okay. So MySpeed is another tool that you can get a free version, but I think it's for the full version, it's $30. And I do a lot of education. I actually learn a lot via video, YouTube videos or, you know, Flash videos or videos that are housed on the net. And this MySpeed tool lets you speed up a video up to 5 times faster than what it actually is played, so that you can get through videos quicker and understand a lot more. Now, the reason I like this is because it doesn't make it go chipmunky. You know, when you speed up things and, you know, in the old days you hit a tape and it goes real fast, like chipmunks. That was my best impression of a chipmunk.
Nice.
Well, it lets you understand what the person's saying in the video. And if you've got a 15-minute video, it suddenly becomes, you know, 3 or 5 minutes. I like to play it on about 2.5 speed to 3 speed because it gets pretty crazy after 3. But, you know, it makes it down about a 5-minute video, and I can learn stuff, you know, really quick and rapid succession because I can intake a lot more than what the person's saying at the rate that they're saying it at. Some people you get that are really slow speakers, it's awesome for that. I love it.
Exactly. And now you know why I just told you guys I laugh every time he uses it, because I've been sitting next to him in the same office and he's pulled it out and played it with some of the slower speakers that are out there. It's very funny, but it's an incredible, incredible tool and saves a lot of time. So highly recommend.
Yeah. And the other end of that too, Heather, is the fact that if you've got something really technical you're watching and you've got a fast speaker and you want them to slow down a bit, you can slow it right down to, you know, half pace or quarter pace, so that you can understand what they're trying to say slower, so that you're not missing the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool. So it's a speed dial that changes the speed of either faster or slower, but without putting it into chipmunk voice. It's pretty cool.
So again, that's MySpeed by Enounce, and you use that in particular to do your learning. Is that correct?
I do everything. If I want to watch something on YouTube, and you know, sometimes there's viral videos and you think, yeah, I want to see what it is. I don't want to watch the whole thing because I, you know, it's all the same. play it through e-nouts and whips out real quick, and then I'm done, you know. I go through a lot more YouTube videos that way.
Dangerous. Yes. Dangerous.
But yeah, mainly for my education, yes.
Cool. So great tool. And so that's the, I guess, the learning side of video within our business, and a tool that you guys can use in yours as well. But what we use also to create video is something that we both love, and that is called ScreenFlow. And we are on Mac, so that's the Mac version, but the PC version is, it's Camtasia. It's by Camtasia.
Yes, it's very, they're both very similar. I love ScreenFlow. In fact, I love ScreenFlow 95% of the time, up until only a few weeks ago. And now I love it 100% of the time.
I was just going to say, really? Yeah, same.
There was one thing that I couldn't do on ScreenFlow I didn't know, or I didn't think I could do. And so I used to revert to iMovie. And that was green screen stuff. So if anybody was doing green screen and I had to edit a green screen video, or if I had to do a green screen video, I'd always end up going back to iMovie and having to edit there first, which became a little bit of a pain in the backside. And as a result, you know, I've got my own green screen studio, but I don't use it because of the painful editing process that I had to go through. Yeah. Now with ScreenFlow, hello, look at green screen. I dusted it off today and it's ready to rock and roll. So you start seeing a few more green screen videos coming through from me. But you know, I edit everything in ScreenFlow. Now, ScreenFlow is a very cheap tool. It's, I think, $97 for a full version. And you can do anything. You can edit all sorts of videos, all sorts of ways, transitions, texts, add music, cut, split clips, flip them, and put all sorts of fun things in there as well. So everything you need from a video editor, I think I can find it in ScreenFlow.
Yeah, and it's just really easy for the layman to use as well. I mean, if you're looking at it as a tool, it's basically you have different layers inside of it. So if you're visually looking at it, one layer might be, you know, this video, and then you're going to put a layer of sound, and then you're going to put a layer of images, and you can click and drag them around inside the program to position them where you want them. So if you want music to start at, say, 5 minutes, you just drag your music track across to 5 minutes in on the video. It's just literally a click and drag sort of tool, and very, very simple. And I love it too. I've just introduced me to the green screen editor. And also what's really amazing about it is there's a filter that you can use within the video itself where you can brighten up the videos. So if you have a bit of dodgy lighting going on in some of your videos, you can very easily within this tool brighten your videos to make them look much more professional. So just that technique alone. Oh, one more thing too is the sound. You can also take your sound and turn up the volume of the sound very easily too. So those are two things that more amateur small business video people do, is have bad lighting and bad sound. So the just this tool alone to amp up your sound and your lighting is great.
And one more thing is you can actually zoom in. So if, if you're recording a screen, you know, you might want to say, I'm explaining how to use a certain project or a program on the computer. You can zoom into a specific spot so that people get to see what that spot is rather than the entire desktop screen.
Absolutely. And I guess one last thing about that is nowadays with YouTube having high definition settings, which is really where they're going for their high definition, you know, internet-enabled TVs around the world, you want your videos to be in YouTube and on high definition settings. And what ScreenFlow allows you to do is do settings within it to, or I should say, export directly from it straight into YouTube. So there's an actual publish to YouTube button, and it allows you to just tick a box to say, I want this in high definition export settings. So it's really easy to use. And so you can do a quick edit and a quick publish straight into YouTube. Even Vimeo, I think, is the other one, and perhaps Vidler, but there's three video sharing accounts that you can share it to directly from within
Flash. This software. You can, the other one's Flash.
Flash, that's it. Thank you. Yeah. So we love this tool. It's a fantastic tool. And again, PC users out there, you can look to Camtasia to get a very similar sort of software just like this.
Exactly.
So moving on. So we've talked about audio, we've talked about video. So let's move on to our written content that we do. One thing about writing nowadays, and we've probably talked about this a little bit before, and we'll definitely talk about it in the future, but the power of using images within your writing is very, very good, not only for search engines, because it's an added sort of SEO boost to what you're doing, because you can name your images, but also to users, because we users like to go onto a blog post and we are instantly attracted to images or video. So images are a very powerful thing. So there's a tool that you can use to actually resize your images very easily. And let's talk a little bit more, Andrew, about why you want to resize your images.
Yeah, sure. So resizing images is important because there's certain sites that once you upload an image, you know, it might be an avatar or a bio photo for some of your social sites, and they'll only accept certain size images. And if you've got an image that's way too large, they'll reject it. So yep. You want to use some tools that can reduce the size of that. Now, if you're a Photoshop user or a GIMP user or one of those, you can resize it through there. But a lot of people don't have those tools. They don't have, you know, a Photoshop, which is expensive. GIMP is free, but it's complex. And if you don't know how to use it, it can take you all day just to work out how to resize a photo. So if you've got photos you need to resize, you may want to be doing a blog post or even a brochure that you might have for your business, and you need to resize it because it's too big to fit on your canvas or your paper that you're working with, then you can go to a tool called Pick Resize, PicResize. Pick Resize. And Pick Resize will let you... it will actually do this resizing for you online. It will allow you to change it certain dimensions or customize the size that you want the output to be. It also lets you put some filters on some of your images as well. So you may want to make it black and white. You may want to put a frame around it. You may want to put a different colored tint or a hue over the top. So it lets you do a couple of cool things. And then what it does is it spits it back at you and it says, here you go. And you just right click and save it to your desktop or save it to your computer, and you have a brand new image with the right size file, right size settings that you need for that image. Now this is also important too, because in this day of duplicate content, we spoke about this in our podcast number 14, that you want to make sure your images are original images as well. So start thinking about how to change the images so that they are original, and Pick Resize is a place you can do it. You can copy some images that you've got and then put some filters over the top and change them and create a new image itself from Pick Resize.
Oh, I love that. And you know what, I have to say one key point of that entire little spiel that you just did that I loved was how you spelled the word Pick Resize with a Z.
I had to do it twice. I know. I'm like, where am I? Who's listening to this? I better cover both bases.
Well done. Love that. Yeah, but good tool, isn't it? Love it.
I did it without laughing too.
Yeah, I know, and I was suppressing mine on the other end.
Yeah, so, I know.
Another thing just that you could use that for is oftentimes we have clients that'll try and send us humongous images in an email. And they're like, you know, they're literally 50 megabytes, which means they're huge and they cannot be emailed. I'm exaggerating, of course. But what you can use this for is if you have a whole bunch of images you want to send across to somebody in an email, you can resize them and squish them down first so you can send them across. Because most email does not allow you to send anything bigger than like 10 megabytes.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
can use it for sharing your files across as well. So one other thing that we like a lot is when we're doing blog posts and or manuals to supplement our videos, is there's a really amazing tool called Screen Steps. And I know, Andrew, you've been dabbling in this a little bit more than me. So what do you think is so amazing about Screen Steps?
Well, Screen Steps lets you put manuals together or lessons. If you're ever trying to create some information for people to follow, or you want to create a manual if you're running an event or a course for people, and you want to, in the old days, you know, going back a few months, when you wanted to put a manual together of specific screenshots or images you wanted to insert into a Word doc, you'd have to go and have all of those images separately out there in your files. You'd have to bring them in and then sort of resize them to fit in with a Word doc. Then you'd go and add some more text and then another image or so. And what would happen is it could take you a long time just to try and format all of that. What Screen Steps does is actually lets you put images in, and it's a specific placeholder. So it lets you create a lesson with movable images that just drag and drop very easily. So this process makes it very easy to create a manual or a lesson plan. What it also does is it lets you convert it to a PDF. So if you wanted to convert it to a PDF for people to print out and read, or it can even export it to HTML documents so you can upload it straight to your website, which is a cool thing. If you're doing a blog post about some certain aspects of something you want to teach people on, you can do this as a HTML. You can also just send it up as a Word document as well, so people might want to look at it as a Word doc. So you create it inside ScreenSteps. Very, very easy plug and play sort of stuff. But over time, you get used to it pretty quickly. I'm developing our series of products. I'm using PDFs, the PDF version of it, so I can actually have a PDF download, like almost like an entire booklet of all of our training courses inside our little training center.
And what I actually started looking at it for is our client manuals. So I know there's probably several of you guys out there listening to this that have to do a handover process with your clients when you actually give them a training or an operations manual. This is an amazing tool for that. If you're just grabbing bits off of your computer screen and you can do the graphics like arrows and circles and things like that. So you can do step one and then insert an image very easily all in one place rather than having multiple graphics and then just going crazily confused with it. So think of it as something you can use to for your own, even your own internal operations and training manuals as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you can do things like, let's say you're trying to train somebody on software. You can take a screenshot or screen grab of the software page, and then you can annotate it. You can put marks on it. You can put arrows, and as you said, circle things to say this is what I want you to focus on.
Yes,
and it just lets you add notes to it as you go without having to have any of this other fancy screen grabbing sort of software that you need to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, add notes and a tremendous amount of value to your clients when you're doing this sort of stuff. To your clients and your followers on your websites. So I know that just some of my most popular blog posts have been my tutorial posts, and I have had to very clumsily go to get screen grabs and go into Photoshop and then do this and that and try and make them look nice. So a tool like this is quite amazing and quick to allow you to just pump out content online in that space.
Yes, so definitely.
We like that. And we are now coming to the end of our episode for our content creation tools.
That was a super quick one, wasn't it? Super quick.
It was, actually. We're just shy of sort of 23 minutes now, which is amazing for us.
I know. I love it. Well, get in, get out, give you some value, and then on your bike.
Nice one. All right, guys. Well, as always, you can come on over to autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast and look up this episode, which is episode number
17.
Thank you, Andrew. You saved me on that one. Number 17. And then on that episode, you will be able to see the links to these amazing tools that we have talked about in this episode. Plus, there's all sorts of other wonderful little things throughout this website as well.
Can we give a shout out too to our magazine? We've got a magazine on Apple Newsstand. We haven't even spoken about this yet.
Oh, yes. Yay, magazine. We're publishers.
We're publishing a magazine. It's called The Online Footprint. Do a search for it on the iTunes iPad app stand, or in the newsstand if you've got a newsstand on your iPad. Online Footprint. It's out now. It's got awesome content from a whole bunch of contributors that we know and we're dealing with. And if you see anything in there you'd like, let us know. If you'd like to see something specific about that in the magazine, let us know. But here's the cool thing with these Apple magazines. We've got videos inside there. You can actually watch the videos inside a magazine. This is awesome technology that's just coming out. And we're loving playing with our magazine. So have a look at that. Check it out. Go and let us know if you like it. And we'd love to hear from you and love your feedback.
Yes. Wonderful. All right, guys, again, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we're very excited to be bringing you our next one in a much more timely manner than normal.
Yeah.
So until next time, goodbye from me, and thanks, Andrew, for being my lovely co-host as always.
Oh, that's a pleasure. Goodbye, everyone. Take care.
All passengers and cabin crew should now be seated with their seatbelt securely fastened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!